We need a real investigation. I don't think we have one yet.
Yes, it's true. And yes, it is a crime.
Well, thank you, Cleta Mitchell. Thank you for that explanation. Really interesting and kind of appalling.
Thank you,
really.
Tucker.
Cleta Mitchell is somebody with great courage, and she's involved with your litigation and lawsuits and all of this stuff. She literally gave up her whole practice not to get paid. She saw how corrupt it was, how disgusting it was, how dirty it was. And I want to thank you on behalf of everybody in this room and everybody in this country. You are a hell of a lawyer and tough. And that's what we need.
You know, we've talked about Zuckerbucks, movies coming out about Zuckerbucks. I want to tell you about something that you probably haven't heard of. I've sort of been calling it Biden Bucks, except that it's really our bucks. Who all remembers the original Rainbow Coalition? Remember that? You remember Jesse Jackson in the 1980s? His goal, his stated goal, was to mobilize millions of Democrat-leaning people of color to defeat Ronald Reagan, create permanent leftist control over the Democratic Party in America. I have to pause here. I picked out this picture because it was Jesse Jackson in the 80s, and I saw the Pepsi logo. Look what else, but then I went back and looked. Do you know what those flags are? Well, you know the American flag. You know what that other flag is? The Communist Party of America. This is the 1980s, and Pepsi. You think that this is new, this business of the woke corporations throwing in with the left? It started a long time ago. But that was, I just thought, I picked an interesting photo of Jesse Jackson, didn't I? But that was their goal. If we can mobilize people of color and get them registered to vote, we'll change America. So, what they call it now, it's interesting because I didn't know that they were going to have this reference in the Citizens United movie. They call it the New American Majority. And there's a lot of literature about this by leftist writers. There was a book, Brown is the New White, talking about how the change in demographics in America was going to render conservatives obsolete. And their New American Majority, and this is the Center for Voter Information, the Voter Participation Center, they're very overt about this, and they're very active. Their goal is to make this New American Majority that they say consists of young people, people of color, unmarried women. That's 150 million people, constituting 64% of the people who can vote in America. And they are targeting those groups to change America. Well, what do? They believe you can expand access to democracy by underrepresented populations. They use code words because they are nonprofits. They're not supposed to be doing political engagement, except for a limited amount for a 501c4. But they use these code words, so they're not saying we're going to go control, you know, we give control to Democrats. They use these code words, and you see it all over. Expand access to democracy by underrepresented populations. They say it over and over. They bring democracy to your doorstep. Now, I want to pause right here. We don't live in a democracy. But the left, everything is about democracy. The Democracy Fund, the democracy this, the democracy that. Biden gives speeches about, you know, the attacks on our democracy. We live in a constitutional republic. And that's what we need to be, but that's what we're about the business of saving. The New American Majority, I'm taking this from their website. The New American Majority utilized mail-based voter resources to help decide the election. 4.6 million unique vote-by-mail ballot applications in key states. That was in 2018. In 2020, they sent over 15 million absentee ballot applications to people in 15 states. And what they do, and that is one of the things, Gina, isn't one of the bills to prohibit third parties from doing, sending unsolicited ballot absentee ballot applications. This is huge. These things are huge. These are steps that are huge because that puts them in the nickel seats if we can make it happen. In Virginia, these two groups sent a letter to every registrar in Virginia telling them, we are going to be sending out absentee ballot applications in your area, and we're going to be sending them to racial minorities, young people, and unmarried women. That's their new American majority. And they sent out 2.1 million applications for absentee ballots that were pre-populated, meaning it already had the information pre-printed. The only thing it didn't have were the last four digits of the Social Security number. And as Lynn told you earlier today, because of the local citizens task force in Fairfax County, they were there, they'd been there, working there, day after day after day. And the registrar in that county told his employees to stop it requiring the last four digits of the Social Security number. And one of the workers knew that was illegal, sidled up to one of our task force members and said, you didn't hear it from me, but he's telling us to do something that's illegal. And when they tried to stop him by talking to him, and they wouldn't, he wouldn't stop, Lynn Taylor and the Virginia Institute for Public Policy, represented by the Public Interest Legal Foundation, sued him to try to enforce the law. But guess what happened? The judge said, well, I think you're probably right on the law, but I don't think that you have standing. So that's one of the things I think should be in every election code, is that citizens who want to enforce the law should have standing to go to court to say, this person is breaking the law. And that's one of the things that we need to start putting in. So fast forward. The point being, they did all of that in Virginia and with all the bad laws. But because there were people, an army of poll watchers and workers, they were not able to prevail. I cannot overestimate that. Saying that again, the reason we are here talking about the Virginia model is because we know it works. So now fast forward, we're to December of 2020. And there is this left-wing group called Demos. They left off the N. They're truly demons. And they published this white paper, Executive Action to Advance Democracy, what the Biden-Harris administration and the agencies can do to build a more inclusive democracy. And then Demos teamed up with the ACLU, how federal agencies can serve their stakeholders through voter registration services. Now remember, you saw the photo earlier of when Bill Clinton signed a motor voter. And that was an act of Congress, which said that the Department of Motor Vehicles and Social Services agencies could be designated as voter registration agencies in the states to register people to vote who come in for their services. They've done this on steroids, but not through Congress, not through legislation. They say there are 76 million eligible Americans unregistered to vote. Each day, federal agencies and their partners provide programs and services. Many of these Americans are not registered to vote. Low-income Americans and Americans of color are less likely to be registered and to vote. This is their argument for what I'm getting ready to show you. So now what they've done is they said federal agency registration can help millions more people register to vote. Federal agency voter registration is particularly impactful in programs that provide services, benefits, and public assistance. So then it goes through. I want you to just look at these numbers. They look at this. We see people who are in need, who are hurting, who need help. You know what the left sees when they look at those numbers? Voters, votes. 2.6 million American Indians and Alaska Natives, 17.7 million students seeking financial aid. Just look at the list, 64 million elderly and disabled, 800,000 new citizens, at naturalization ceremonies and 4 million low-income Americans receiving rental assistance and HUD assistance. And then they go through and talk about how to provide these voter registration services. But look at the thing at the bottom. It's not just registration. It's education on how to vote. And look at all the things that they're doing, telling the agencies what they can do. This is all in their plan that they wrote in 2020. Contact us, and then it has six people from Demos and the ACLU for the agencies to contact. And this is what they're saying. We'll add millions of eligible, previously unregistered voters to our voting rolls. That's their goal. That's what they're doing right now. Why does it matter? What does it mean? March 7, 2021, Joe Biden issued an executive order ordering every federal agency to develop a voter registration and education plan that was to be submitted to the White House last September to the Domestic Policy Council, headed by Susan Rice, who's hired someone from Demos to help run this program. That's why I call it Biden Bucks, because then the second part is for her to give out grants to approved groups to help then mobilize and make sure that those voters that they've registered, that we've paid to register, get out to vote. So last Monday, or Tuesday, whenever it was, Demos updates the nation on the Biden executive order and says, we must not underestimate the progress and yet untapped potential of this executive order. So what are the federal agencies doing so far? Well, they're happy to report that the Indian Health Service is heavily involved. They're going to have the Department of Interior, tribal colleges and universities are going to be made voter registration centers. The Department of Health and Human Services will provide access to their end users who come for medical services. Exhibit C to their report says, here's the great thing that's happening in Arizona. Arizona's Healthy Arizona Plus online portal has, these are screenshots, you can't see it, it's a voter registration form. So when people are signing up for or going to their patient portal for healthcare benefits or the healthcare at Arizona, Healthy Arizona, they're registered to vote. Now, why does that matter? Let me just tell you a little story. I was making a quick overview presentation a few weeks ago to a conference call of conservatives about this Biden executive order. And one of the people on the call is a staffer to a congressman. And she said, that's interesting. We had a call to our office just last week. A woman had taken her elderly mother to the health clinic, and they had her mother sign a bunch of things on kind of an iPad. And the daughter said, please print out what you've had my mother sign. So they printed out the papers, one of which was a voter registration form. Her mother has dementia, has not had the cognitive capability to vote in more than a decade, and her health clinic just registered her to vote, no doubt because of this order. And I want you to look at this, the CTCL contract in Wisconsin. You know, you saw a little reference to it, and there's a lot of material that we know about Wisconsin and the Zuckerbucks. But look at what one of the provisions in the contract those agencies had to sign with CTCL, or those municipalities, to dramatically expand strategic voter education and outreach efforts, particularly to historically disenfranchised residents. They target the most vulnerable people of our society. That's what they're about. And we have to be aware of this, and we have to think about what we can do about it. I'm just going to play a quick, I'm going to play just a little bit of this. Maybe. Oh. Whoops. Maybe I'm not. Well, let me just, well, okay, well, let's, I'm not a very technology person.
The special voting deputy process. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a process. It's a law, 6.875. What they're saying here is they're telling municipalities to not follow the law. Coincidentally, they say it's because special voting deputies are considered non-essential. And I did an open records request and said, how did you come to the determination that special voting deputies are non-essential? And they basically just referenced me back to this letter and by implication stating, well, we just decided so. That's the best I can understand.
Okay.
And
can
they made this decision on March 12th.
Can I stop it? Okay. Let me tell you what that was. A woman in Wisconsin whose mother had been in an elderly home, she, for some reason, she died in October 2020. So she, for some reason, decided to look up and determine, found out her mother had voted in the November 2020 election. Now, she had died a month earlier, and before that, she hadn't been able to vote again. She was in a memory care unit. She hadn't been able to vote for many years. So this woman called the Racine County, the district attorney. They referred it to the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office conducted an investigation and discovered that the Wisconsin Election Commission, before the election, had suspended the requirement under Wisconsin law that in order for an elderly person in a senior citizen center or whatever to be able to vote, they would send in what were called, under the statute, special voting deputies. And they do that to make sure that the nursing home staff is not basically stealing the votes. And, okay, do you have it up there? Anyway, so the point being, and then Justice Gableman, when he did his investigation, discovered even more of these situations across Wisconsin, paid for with Zuckerbucks, going in and basically stealing the votes of elderly people in nursing homes in Wisconsin. And that's why we do this panel. We have to form these local task forces. And you have to have a vulnerable voters team. And Tracy and Carrie are going to talk to you about what the specifics are that you can do. But we have to develop systems to track the potential and the abuse of vulnerable voters. And when we talk about vulnerable voters, we can be talking about homeless. We can talk about people, elderly people, people who live in group settings, group homes. It was interesting looking at the don't even get me started on the young people and the we're going to let kids vote when they're 12. But you need to be knowing. You need to be finding out and doing research. Who's getting money? Monitor what they're doing. Monitor these new registrations that are probably going to be pouring in from federal agencies. And outreach to the targeted populations. That's what this panel is all about. Sometimes we understand it, but I decided that we needed to show you why you have to listen and do something about what Tracy's going to talk about and what Carrie's going to talk about. So I forgot to tell you one thing. I have a podcast, and I'd be really grateful if you decide to listen to our podcast. And it's Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. www.whoscounting.us. We post news about what's going on in election integrity, the podcast, all of our events, all of our summits, all of that's there. But I just wanted to make sure you understand that this business of protecting vulnerable voters is really, really important. And it's a place that the left sees as great targets of opportunity, and we have to make sure that doesn't happen.
Thank you for listening to Who's Counting. The Who's Counting podcast is produced by the Conservative Partnership Institute's Election Integrity Network. It is filmed and recorded at CPI Studios in Washington, D.C. Help us grow this show by sharing this episode with a friend, and be sure to subscribe and to give us a good review. We need your word of mouth because big tech can't be trusted and tries to cancel us daily. Help fight back by visiting whoscounting.us and sign up for this podcast, for our newsletter, become part of the Election Integrity Network.